Corinthians
chapter 12. We're on the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 8, For to us, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. All effective faith is a gift from God. But there is a specific gift of faith, and that is different. And yet this specific gift of faith also has specifics in it. Faith, that power or that substance that is able to bring from the spirituals into the naturals. There is really no other way that the spirituals can enter the naturals. God has, as it were, put a barrier. Between our world and theirs. Whether angels or devils. But there's a barrier. And the way across that barrier is faith. Did you know that's one reason the devil wants to build your faith in him? What he can do, who he is, how he can work. In fact, very often the enemy would do his best to get attention. If he just gets your attention, make you think he does have power and can do things on his own, he's very happy because he's given you an ounce more of faith in him. Years ago, Brother Cornwallis had written a book about the devils. Oh, on God's side, of course. And he had it in his briefcase, in his car. His car was broken open, and it was stolen. It's the only thing he ever had stolen from his car. It was his only copy. Never got printed. Thank the Lord. And for which he thanked God also. And then when he got to praying about it, God said, well, why do you give so much glory to the devil? What do you want to praise him for? Because that's how faith, that's how the enemy can come into our lives and hurt us, is we believe in it. It's one of his ways of coming. We give him that access. And it works, strange to say. And the more that faith is there, the more it works. Because that's the only way that the spirituals can come into the naturals. So I put it this way, the only way that the tremendous power there is in the powerhouse, wherever it's located, the only way it can get into this building and give us light, and all of its benefits is through a little wire that wanders here and there across the streets and over the hills and across the streams and reaches that powerhouse. And if that wire is cut, that's the end of it, isn't it? I don't care how expensive your equipment. I don't care how well it's kept. I don't care what powerful machinery. Just cut that wire, it all stops, doesn't it? And it's like our faith. That's the only way the power of the spirituals can come into the natural, is through our believing. It is a substance. Now, it is very important with God, now by the faith, hope, and love. He says in Ephesians, he says, above all, taking your shield of faith. In other words, that's the most important. And it also, Paul tells us about the fight of faith. It's what the enemy wants to destroy, first of all, because that's the source of your power, isn't it? God can do all things. All things are possible if we can believe. Him that believeth, all things are possible. Like Jesus said, just a grain of mustard seed would be enough to move mountains around. Just that little tiny bit of faith, just the size of a grain of mustard, that's pretty small. Must be pretty powerful stuff. He said that's all it would take. That living faith in God. We have a way of underestimating it, and sometimes of underestimating ourselves. But there is a gift of faith, and that's not the faith that is usually talked about in Scripture. There's saving faith. We're saved when God drops that bit of faith in our heart, and I can believe in the power of the cross, in the blood of Jesus to wash me clean. I can believe that He took my place, that He does love me. That saving faith that comes into my heart. And there's faith for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's all kinds of faith. But there's a gift of faith. That is a special gift of God. That's a special empowering. Now, that gift of faith, or in fact, in one sense, any operation of faith, really, is only for what is given for. It is not transferable. You can have tremendous faith for salvation and not an ounce for healing. And you can have tremendous faith for healing and not an ounce for salvation. I know people have been tremendously healed and never had a bit of faith for conversion. Not at all. Because faith is that gift of God that's very specific. It'll work for just what it's to work for. Just what that word was spoken for and given to you for. And there it will work. I know people that have been quite confused because they've had faith for a healing, a real wonderful healing. And then the next time they got sick, they thought, well, I've got it. Got it made. Except it didn't work the next time. And they were really confused. I remember when little Irene Petz, who's now Paul Ravenhill's wife, she had a wonderful healing of her back. God just healed it completely. She wasn't really even seeking it. She was seeking something else when God spoke to her and said, I've healed your back. She'd spent all kinds of money on doctors and so on. That was it from that day to this. And about 2 months later, she injured her foot. Got a little infection in it. I said, you better get that tended to. Oh, no, God's going to heal that. After all, God healed my back. Because for years, it gave me great pain. What's a little sore in my foot? I'll take care of that. Except it got bigger. Thing got bigger. I said, you better take care of it. Oh, it's going to be all right. Finally, she was praying. Well, she finally went to a doctor. Quite confused she was. Well, why? I had faith for that. Yes, but faith is very specific. We don't have just, shall we say, broadcast faith. It works any, just like it's. It just works for anything you plug into it. It isn't the way it works at all. is given for a specific. And that gift of faith also will be given in a specific way or for a specific ministry. And you just can't transfer it from one need to another. Another need will take another word and another operation of gifts of God. And the gift of faith will work for what it's supposed to work for. I know people have been quite confused, especially in some ministries that have had tremendous faith for healing and no faith at all for finances. And it turns people off, really. Well, what's the matter? He's such a man of God and begs and pleads and tries his best to keep his machine going and the tent put up and the lights turned on and people helping him keep him from starving. And all the time, God doing wonderful miracles. And no faith at all for finances. And I know people have all kinds of faith for finances, but you better not get them to pray for your healing because it's not going to happen. Because their faith isn't that direction. Or God could give both, as far as that's concerned. He can have both. You see what I mean? But we think faith is sort of a, shall we say, a chunk of a conglomerate. Something, you have that, and it works. And we go, well, what's the matter? Don't you have any faith? Well, then how come this works if this doesn't work? Well, that's very normal. It's very normal. And so God gives that faith. For instance, he does give faith for finances. Take George Mueller, for instance. That right there in England, without making any plea, without working any other way except through the faith in God's provision, and he built those wonderful orphanages there in Bristol, until he had over 1,000 children in several homes. Money was provided so miraculously. It was amazing, the finances God sent to George Mueller. It was his very life. If you haven't read it, do it. His very life as a testimony to faith in that particular area. But that same gift of faith that was so certain and so sure in the realm of finances wouldn't work in the realm of healing, for instance. With all his faith over the provision for the orphans, he didn't have faith to make it sunshine every day. Not in England, where it rains most of the time. You see, it's very specific. And so God has these gifts of faith. This faith is so wonderful in that particular. And then there's the gift of healing. Now, a gift of faith for healing, let me put it that way, because there's a gift of healing, that's different. We'll get to that later. But the gift of faith. A man I know that that he felt that that's the gift God had given him was Charles Price. Thousands of people were healed in his ministry. Tens of thousands. Glorious healings. But he never felt he had a gift of healing. He felt he had a gift of faith. And tremendous healings were operating. It was glorious, those healings. All kinds. I've seen with my own eyes people get out of wheelchairs and start running and praising God. People break their crutches over their knee and start running up and down and shouting. People with their eyes open. All kinds of things. And he had another area that faith worked in. That was for evangelism. He'd get half through his sermon and people start coming down the altar. Tremendous it was. And his faith worked in another direction. And that was in bringing people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not like we do now. I don't mean that lay hands on you sort of thing. But I mean he brought them into the presence of God and hundreds would be filled. It was glorious. a wonderful ministry he had. Just that faith for that. And yet he didn't have faith for his home. Didn't have faith at all. His wife left him, broke up, never came back. He didn't have an ounce of faith for that. Or there was Smith Wigglesworth. My, what a faith he had for healing. Just a tremendous faith for healing. And then he himself was sick, terribly sick with kidney stones for 12 years. And many a time he just barely had strength to get out of the pulpit in agony when people had been healed of the same thing when he prayed for them. But he didn't have faith for himself, and faith for others. In fact, that's usually the way faith works. But there were those gifts of faith, and they were specific, and they worked. And they worked tremendously. And they worked over and over again in place after place, because a gift, if something, you have a little bit to say with it. Now, that, I say that carefully, because if you say too much, you're getting into trouble. Because you can say too much. You can say, God, give this to me, it's mine, so I'll use it as I wish. And then you're in trouble. But if you realize it's given to you, but to use as he wishes, well, then you're all right. And that's really delicate, because there's lots of pressure when a person has a gift. And then it works. And you go here and it works. Or you go there and it works. Or you go someplace else and it works. And then people want to put pressure. Say, oh, work for, come here and work it for me. But now with that, maybe I should stop here a moment. That if that faith is working upon people, that gift of faith is working upon people, there's also another faith that must go with it, and that's the faith to receive. Remember, it says that Jesus could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And so oftentimes I've seen in services that faith builds as the service continues. And they begin to see what God has done for others, and they begin to dare to believe that he can do it for me. And so faith, receiving faith, rises. Do you understand what I mean by that? And then God will do it for them. But the source of faith is still there, is ready whenever they are ready. That the source of faith was in the one to whom God had given that faith. And that faith was wonderful. Now you take Billy Graham, for instance. He had tremendous faith for evangelism. Sunday we sang a song, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." That was written by Stuart Hamlin, wasn't it? He was a Hollywood personality, very popular, very wealthy. And I think it was his wife or someone tricked him almost into attending one of Billy Graham's Los Angeles crusades. And God was moving tremendously. And his own testimony, I've heard others give the same testimony. He's sitting there half listening simple sermons, Billy Graham's sermons, when he was flowing really in the precious anointing, the gift of his faith. They were usually very simple. They weren't complicated at all. And he sat there listening to that simple sermon, and then he gave his invitation. He said, "What are these silly people doing walking up there?" And he said, "The next thing I knew, I was walking up there with tears streaming down my face, wondering, what am I doing?" But there he was going, and accompanied by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other ones. He just, that faith would go, and he just begin to give that invitation. Nothing much had happened till then. And then it all started happening. Because that's faith. And faith, as it were, releases God to work. It's our unbelief that keeps him from working. He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And the more he can build our faith, the more he can get our faith up, just receiving faith, the more he's able to do. the more he's able to do for us, the more he's able to deliver. And as that faith built, until thousands of people were brought in, a tremendous work of God. The same over in London, same in other places. How they laughed at him when he came to London. And yet that faith was there. That gift of faith. And it works any time, any place. Then there's other works. There's a gift of faith for her. Well, let's say your environment. Princess like Mary Slessor. Remember, she hated snakes. And there are all kinds of snakes in that part of Africa. And they'd call her and she'd go down the trails barefooted all night long. And all of her years there and all the work she did, no snake ever touched her. There was that faith over her environment. And she had a tremendous faith. Things just worked for her, that's all. In fact, there's a book out. Someone has it. I wish it would show up. The name of it is, She Had a Magic. And the natives would say to her, what's your magic? What have you got? Why do you have such control over your environment? They couldn't understand it. Some of those rough chiefs would deliberately get drunk, so they'd storm in at her, they were angry at her, and come in and do something to her. And they'd come in at her, and she'd just look at them, maybe slap their face and tell them off good, and take their arms away from them, stack corns, and get out of here and behave yourself. And they'd just walk out completely cowed. And she was just a little Scotch lassie. How did she do it? They could never figure out what her magic was. But she didn't have faith for evangelism. Like Billy Graham. Her faith was different. God is faith for what he wants us to work in. And she had a tremendous faith there. And did a tremendous work. And then there's that faith over, shall I use the word, heathendom? Some of our most marvelous missionaries would go out to a place that was godly. Some of them were highly persecuted, but they had such a faith, they'd always come through it and end up changing their environment and changing the people and changing the... There's William Carey in India, for instance. Changed the very government, changed the customs of the land, changed people's hearts, had faith. That those gods, I mean, they would be tied up in knots when they came around where he was. They couldn't operate. They were afraid of him. There was that living faith, that gift of faith, that he could operate and he could work. There was Hudson Taylor over in China. What a faith he had over those Chinese gods. They could never touch him. They could never get at him. That wonderful faith. Though I told you before, George Fox. They would come up, there would be a band of soldiers. It's happened many times. You read his journals many, many times. A band of soldiers would come up deliberately to arrest him and furious. And they would swear and curse. They would do this and that. And they come up to where he was, and he said, and the power of God was over them all, and they just become immobilized. He couldn't do anything. They couldn't arrest him. He preached his sermon, get to, get on his horse, and go out of town. They didn't watch him go. They couldn't do a thing. Once in a while, God let them put him in jail, but usually, most times, no. I mean, by far the most times. He walked right through the middle. In fact, he'd defy them sometimes. He would know when God would let them, when he wouldn't. They go, don't go to that town. So that's the town I must go to. Or they're waiting for it. They've got a warrant out for you. He said, never mind, I'll go to that town. And they tried to arrest him. They couldn't. Because there was that faith over those furious gods, those devils that were trying to destroy the work of God. He also had a wonderful faith for healing also. A marvelous faith. But he didn't have much faith for finances. He was always broke. Always broke. You see, God gives specific faith for specific needs. Well, there was Elijah. He had faith over nature, didn't he? Tell it when to rain and when not to rain. Why, strange it may seem, he had faith to bring a man, a boy, back to life. And yet, didn't have faith to protect his own life. And when they threatened him, he ran, hid himself. Isn't that strange? Because you see, the gift of faith is a specific. And even when it's this gift, not a gift of faith, but the gift of faith, it's still specific. Now, it doesn't only have to be in one area. It can be more than one area. But no way is it all areas. No way at all. In fact, oftentimes a gift of faith will be accompanied by other gifts. Many times that's true. It'll accompany the gift of prophecy. In fact, we're told when you prophesy according to your faith, aren't we? In Romans 12:6. Because faith is the power of the prophecy. The prophecy might be true, but if there's no faith, there won't be any power in it. It won't accomplish anything. And so the gift of faith will often be accompanied by other gifts. And the gift of miracles, and the gift of healing, and so on. But Elijah had that faith over nature. He could just tell the clouds what to do, couldn't he? Had a wonderful gift there. And then, little Susan Wesley, she had a faith over her home. And that was it. And what a faith she had for her children. And how she taught them, how she worked with them, how she brought them to Christ. She didn't go out on any evangelistic tour. She had nothing. She never went on missionary for journey. She never had a healing service. But she had faith for her home. That's a beautiful place to have faith, isn't it? To really believe. To have faith that, no, say about the neighbors on this side or the neighbors on that side, but my home, my children. Oh, what a beautiful place to have faith, isn't it? And that was where her faith was. Didn't work much in the realm of healings, but it worked tremendously. And if you read her story, it was really she that kept the home together. Her husband was, they were very poor, and he got in political trouble and all kinds of things, but it was she that took it through her faith. That faith was strong in the midst of all kinds of persecution. That faith was strong. And it was honored. These gifts of faith are tremendous. And then, I think there's another area I would say that the gift of faith can work. And that is faith over a rhema, a word of God. That you can believe a word and move out and act on it. Even to the point of receiving a challenge and bringing forth that gift of faith, bringing forth, producing something God has told you or given you to do, whether it's in the realm of missions or wherever it is, but you dare to believe and move out because you believe God. Because there's a challenge in faith. I believe really that God would give much more faith if we would arise to the challenge, if we dare to lay hold on it. But so often I've had people tell me that God gave them word, but then they got to thinking, well, that couldn't be for me. If they just not, they just not got to thinking, they'd been a lot better off. I've had many people tell me how that as they contemplated and as they meditated, as they thought it over, they threw it out. Their faith wasn't just wouldn't lay into the Word of God and say, no, that's for me, I believe it, I'm going to act on it. Now I know there's confirmings and things like that we've talked about before. But that gift of faith will give you the power to move into some realm of the impossible. In some way or another, you can move towards the impossible. And again I say, in a sense, all faith is a gift, except that it can grow and develop. It's a fruit also of your life in Christ. There's several things involving it, but we're just talking about the gift part of it today. But God can give us faith and we can just let it go. Just let it go. In fact, I know people that have been given tremendous gifts of faith and don't use it. Because of persecution or because of this discouragement or because of this or that other reason. That's why Paul says, stir up the gifts that were given to you, didn't he? You don't have to use them. In fact, gifts can be overused. I know some place where the gift of tongues interpretation is greatly overused. When we were young, they would teach us, don't press your gifts. Let God use them. You don't have to. Don't press them. Just because you got them, don't bring them out and show them off every Sunday. But it's that faith that will bring us to be able to do the impossible. What has God said to you? What is He speaking to you about? What has He spoken maybe many times to you about? What's He telling you? That's faith. Now that gift of faith is something that will very seldom work this way. It always works that way. It is seldom for you. It is almost always for others, especially the gift of faith, the gift of faith. It's not so much for you. It is for others, as you might become a source of blessing. You may be going through all kinds of problems, and yet you can get up and minister. In fact, sometimes some of the best ministry on a given area is when the minister is being tried on that area more than any other time. And that's when his faith will be the strongest for others. Smith Wigglesworth's greatest time of his healing ministry was during the time he had his own battle with kidney stones. And my, how God would heal everybody else, but not him. It wouldn't work that direction. It's to give out with. It's for ministry to go forth. We use the term anointing. And for anointing that's going to be that abiding anointing that's always at work will be involving in some way a gift of faith. It'll be that gift of faith that anointing will work in whichever way God has directed that life. It will work in that direction. Because that's the way it's supposed to do. Now, works can be copied, but faith can't. A person can see somebody else move out in faith and see wonderful things happen. And they say, oh, well, I'm going to do that too. I'm going to believe God for that. Well, first of all, it won't work. They might get the job done if they're ambitious enough and strong enough and use enough natural talents. But it still isn't God. Because we can't copy. How many orphanages have tried to copy George Mueller? But there's only one George Mueller, isn't there? I was very glad that I never heard about Amy Carmichael until our work was almost finished. And then I saw so many parallels that God had worked in India, that He'd worked with us in Argentina. Many parallels, but I'm glad I never knew them. I think I'd been afraid to try them if I'd known them. Because I know that you can't copy. God will give you something so specific. And even In the areas that it works, it will still be individualized. It will still be your way that that gift of faith will really work. And that's the way that faith works. It works for one reason, a way, and another. It works in another way, and it is always an outgiving. Now, there's another type of faith that's for receiving. But the gift of faith, and usually that's involving a ministry in some way or another, not necessarily a preaching ministry, mind you, as we've talked about that before, but that gift of faith, that it just will work. That's all. You just know it will work. Like Elijah, when they sent Naaman to the king, and the poor king receives this letter from the Syrian king saying, "I've sent you my commander-in-chief of my armies, who's a leper, healing." And the poor king just about flipped. "Who's he think I am?" But God let the prophet know about it. And so he sent word to the king. He said, "Send him to me. I'll take care of it." What a wonderful step of faith. What a wonderful certainty of faith, wasn't it? Just give him to me. I'll take care of it. You bring him here. I know what I can do. I know what God's given me to do. I'll take care of that one. And that's the way that that gift of faith operates. That deep, total, inner knowledge that that's given to you, and you can do it. And you can do it whenever you want to. Naturally, you'll want to get His guidance. When His guidance is there, you just know it will be. It has to be. There's nothing in this world can stop it. Because you and God are agreed on it. If two or more are agreed on anything, it shall be done. And I found a long time ago that all it takes for two is you and Him. If a third one wants to get on it, fine. But just you and He are agreed, and it's going to work. It just as will be. That faith that comes from God, you can't work it up. You can't manufacture it. You can't copy it. But it's given of God as we seek His face, as He releases that word. And there's faith in other realms. There's, for instance, little Annie had a tremendous faith for visions. She just knew that she could go in and find Him there. She would do it. In fact, she never let a day go by she didn't do it. Sometimes she had to pray quite a while, but never mind, she made it. She knew she could. Where did that knowledge come from? Where did that certainty, where did that surety come from? I've seen others try to copy it, but it didn't work too well. In fact, it worked pretty poorly. Because God gives it. By the same Spirit of God, there is a gift of faith. And that will come out of seeking God as you draw near. Now, mind you, God would do that a lot more if He could, if we draw near enough, that He can get us ready enough, they could trust us with it. Because it's a pretty heady thing. It's pretty hard to be trusted with. Just, for instance, what would you do if God just hands you down tomorrow a gift of faith in the realm of healing? And everybody you prayed for got healed. Now what would you do? Well, you'd rejoice at first until you had about 50,000 people camped out on your front lawn and front street and back garden and side street and side garden. And then you just cry for help. I mean, that's literally true because I've seen it happen. And just what would you do? Where would you go? How would you use it? Would you use it at the request of your sympathies? Would you use it to please people or friends or loved ones? And loved ones can be a real nuisance at a time like that. Because they'll take advantage of you. Some loved one, or I have a friend. I'm going to bring him to you so you can heal him. But it isn't God. Now what do you do? It can be pretty sticky, can't it? And so God works in us to try to bring us a place he can give us some of these things. And we don't absolutely go wild with it. I've heard ministers preach and say that there's going to come such a great revival that we're going to have such power we can walk into the hospitals and empty them out. I know he could. That's why he won't, because that's what we do. But Jesus went to the hospital and healed one and left all the sick ones there, didn't he? He didn't do that. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. That's where our problem comes, isn't it? That's why we don't see much of these gifts, because we can't handle them. But as we draw near, and God is able to speak into our hearts and speak into our life and bring our life into divine control, then he can give us wonderful gifts. And as I say, this gift of faith is a sort of a hidden gift, because it will work in different directions or different ways. It's not just sort of a broadcast gift, as I said before, that just works anything you want to say. No, it's very specific, and therefore it's as it were a hidden gift. But in the realm it's given for, it works. It works. And you can say ahead of time, I'm going over in such and such a place and do such and such a thing. And then do it. Literally, absolutely do it. Because you know what God has given to you to do. And you know that. You'll even make other people angry. Because they'll try to do it and can't. And you walk right in on top of it and do it. Like that at all. Who do you think you are? But it's that faith in that particular area that God has given. And he'd love to give much more. And as we draw closer to him, he will give more. For God delights to give his gifts. It's not that he's very restrictive. It's not that he's very stingy. No, no, no. He would love to give gifts. Let me ask you a question. Is it a joy to you to be able to give a gift? It is, isn't it? It's a joy to you to be able to give a gift to someone that you know they're needing it, and you know they would like it, and you have the ability to give them that pleasure so much and knows our needs. We're delighted to give us many precious gifts, but he loves us. And he's not out to hurt us. And so he has to work with us and bring us to the place that we can receive those gifts. And bring us to a place where we can come into that place that he can give to us a bit of faith. Even if it's in one area. Maybe it's just a small area. Maybe it's just for your house. Maybe it's for your business. Maybe it's for your job. Maybe it's over something else. I remember years and years ago, God gave me a gift of faith over travel. And it was shortly after that I was riding on a bus on an area where they had lots of wrecks. They call it suicide strip. And a woman came to me when I was riding. I said, would you mind trading places with me? She said, I'm so afraid. So on this side, if they had a wreck, that's where I would get it. I said, I'll be glad to trade places with you. It didn't bother me in the slightest. Because I happened to know that I was on that bus, and so that bus was safe. And it was. God gave that to me years and years and years ago. It's always been so. In fact, it almost gets boring. I never am in a storm at sea. I wouldn't. Or storm in the air, something. Always, everything's always so nice. And that's the way he set it up for me. A plane ahead could have a lot of troubles, and a plane behind, but mine won't. Let me just get there so nicely. Robert came in from Florida, and his plane bounced way up in the air, and they brought it down finally and said, "Everybody off. We're changing planes. We have mechanical troubles." I've never had that fun. Everybody just comes in so nice. I didn't particularly ask for it. He just gave it to me. But it's something you know that it's there. You know it. Because God has given it. And God will give you many precious areas of faith where your faith will work. But he'd like to have that increased too until it becomes an area where it becomes a ministry. You know what I mean? Where it's given to others too. And you can minister out of that faith. Out of that fountain of faith. Sometimes it's just in prayer. Faith in your prayers. You know that God is hearing your prayers. Jesus had that faith, didn't he? I know, Father, that you always hear me. And we're told that he heard every prayer he ever prayed was answered. John had that gift. So whatsoever we ask of him, we receive. Didn't he? He had that gift. That's a dangerous gift. You wouldn't know how to pray, would you? If God did everything you ask him to, you'd... I think I won't pray for a while. I don't know what to ask now. It might get done. Then what'll I do? And so, God will give these gifts in many areas. A gift of faith. But then there's the gift of faith that's specific for ministry. And God would delight to give that gift also. And he has given it. Many people work in gifts in an area of faith. And people get confused. And I'm repeating this. They get confused because, well, what's the matter with him? Can he believe that? Now look, or was that God after all? And they begin to doubt and get confused. Because they don't realize that faith is specific. And works in specifics. And God can give you more than one area of faith. In fact, he'd delight to. The gift of faith by the same Spirit. Father, we pray tonight that you'll encourage our hearts and our lives to believe. Oh, that wonderful belief. Only believe. How we need it. We so doubt. We so lack trust. Lord, let that faith come into our hearts. Let faith in your word come into our heart. Let faith in prayer come into our heart. And oh, you hear prayer and you answer prayer. Give us faith, Lord. Small gifts and then greatest of all, the gifts, O God, that will minister life and grace and blessing to others. Let us draw near that you can trust us with those gifts. That gift of trust. That faith, Lord, that will take us away from being victims of fear and unrest. That we can rest in peace, repose. Father, in your wonderful and precious name I ask.